Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everyone.
Yay.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
First show of the new year, Bruce.
Yes.
That's going to be a good one.
Oh, it's going to be a great one. We got all kinds of fun lined up for the new year with different callers and events and, of course, our experiences in coaching across a lot of different populations and clients. So it's just going to be a super fun year and looking forward to the months to come.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things we talk about in the coaching profession is how diverse the profession is, how non-competitive, how people follow their hearts, their experience, their motivation to help a specific target audience, if you will, or target population. So there's so many different areas and specialties in the coaching profession. And so some of the guests that we have on the show from time to time will reflect a completely different area of coaching and what they bring, utilizing the coaching model and the coaching skills to help people across different walks of life in different situations. And today we have a guest coming on, Wendy Kohler, who is an occupational therapist by trade, also teaches and trains therapists in how to work with families who have children with neurological disorders. Very, very interesting, very bright woman who really wants to be out there coaching family, the family, the parents, the mothers, the fathers who have children in their home with neurological and sensory disorders.
Yes. You know what I really like about her? Had a pre-production meeting with her earlier today, but you know, what I really like is how she had all this experience as an occupational therapist, worked with all different types, mental health, everything, and then goes into coaching because coaching frees you from the chains that bind you in a particular discipline. You know what I mean? And so she, you know, I just love that path was just so ready and carved for her. You know what I mean?
It just
sounds so good working with parents of children with disabilities and being a coach for these folks. What an underserved
right.
population. So
okay.
Yeah, I was just
well,
just
and also you
so
know,
excited to hear that.
In working with her, you know, she. When you talk about coaching is a great expression or avenue to approach and modality to use in order to serve this population. But, you know, a lot of times people will come from the top of their fields. They are the best of the best in their field and they know the latest and the greatest and they want to apply that. But the restraints of the profession sometimes put up the guardrails. And so coaching sometimes is a vehicle to get out and support people and those professionals in different fields have the best experience to do that with are now able to really get out and help people the way they know it needs to be done. And I like that about her. She's very, very bright and very, very good background in this field. Personally and professionally, she has the experience. So I think it'll be a real value to the listeners who may know somebody, have a friend or a family or a relative or a child themselves in the home who is dealing with a disorder diagnosis and looking for support and help.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully, you know, it'll be great to see how her coaching practice continues to grow. And, you know, in something like that, I think, you know, I see something like that will just really sell itself, obviously. You know what I mean? We've run into a lot of coaches that are in the in their coaching school, right? And they're kind of clamoring for what am I going to do and how am I going to market? And, you know, they're trying to search for their ideal situation. And boy, this one here is such a home run. I think it just nearly leads itself, if that makes any,
Yeah. And
any
I think
sense.
A lot of people, yeah, as they get out into coaching in different fields, you know, a lot of what they're concerned about is, because I do a lot of coaching for startups and businesses, not just coaching, but different professions.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of what these coaches who come from these different professional backgrounds are sometimes wrestling with is how to put the business hat on and put that business umbrella around this skill that they have and this approach that they've learned and how they want to take it out and serve and help people. You can't do it without putting your name out there, without having a way for people to reach you, a business card, a business license, a website, you know, the basics of setting up a business and a private practice. So sometimes people need a little support in getting that piece of it up and going. And once they do, they're ready to roll. They're available now to help people. And it's wonderful because the people are out there. They just, you know, they may not know the resources available to them. So more and more people are getting out there as coaches with different professional backgrounds and experiences that they can really target a specific need out there. And this is definitely one of those people who will be able to really be available to support those parents as they, have to go through the process of the learning and getting a child diagnosed and finding the support and keeping their relationships intact and healthy despite the initial stressors as they deal with the walk, the change that's come over their home, you know? So I think it is a really, really important thing.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, oftentimes the husbands and wives of these children, their relationship gets so strained, you know, it's having a child, just having children, period, but not, you know, a child with a special need, right? Or a child,
right,
with a disability, that can really do damage to the marriage. I know some marriages are stronger, but I know a lot of marriages experience extreme challenges when they're dealing with a child or children with special needs.
Right.
And it just having that person there in a coaching capacity, you know, that's, once again, this is very positive. It's non-pathological. There's nothing wrong with you. You know, this is just, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with you.
I think our caller's calling in.
Hello.
Right. Hey, there she is.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, Wendy? Can you hear us okay?
I'm fine. Sure. Yeah.
Fabulous. We're talking about you and Bruce. I'm sorry, Bruce, to cut you off mid-sentence there. Answer her call. Go ahead, Bruce. Go ahead and maybe Wendy can pick up where you were, you know, the point you were making, which I think is a great point. Go ahead.
Yeah, when I was just talking about some things we had talked about, that one of the things you have encountered in your work with the parents of children with special needs or disabilities is how that can be straining to the marital relationship, and how what you do
may
be able to actually save marriages. So, yeah.
Yes, I think that situation is unique. So in many cases, typical counseling people would seek doesn't quite address what's really going on in the home. So I think there are unique circumstances around it that requires a unique approach that's both mixing knowledge with coaching to help the people take actionable steps to create an environment that they can live with and that can flourish.
Nice.
But often I have seen a breakdown in families that is not addressed and seems to be a big area of need.
So that's where you could be a value. Go ahead, Bruce.
I was going to say, what is it about the challenge of the child? What is it inherent in that places a strain on the relationships, you think? Or what are some of the operating factors there?
Well, interestingly, it can be different depending on what the child's needs are. Some children are very challenging. I mean, all children, typical or atypical, are challenging, right. But there's so many challenges inherent in both. But when you're raising an atypical child, first of all, you're just focusing on the loss of having a typical child while simultaneously raising their child, the child they do have, and trying to learn all new things about parenting the child they do have becomes a new challenge for them. It becomes almost like a full-time job. And then anybody who's familiar with autism knows the challenge that the parents often face. If the child has sensory issues, cannot be out in public much, has meltdowns, and one of the parents is often left holding the responsibility of staying home and meeting that child's needs, and often trying to face the world with a smiling face and then going home and meeting the challenge alone is unfortunately really what happens in so many cases. But with any child, whether they have physical disabilities, intellectual disabilities, everything ranging from severe physical disabilities right to ADHD or learning disabilities, that can create a whole nother challenge when a mom or dad just senses there's something not quite right. My child's struggling with friends, struggling with siblings, struggling with us, struggling with school, but yet nobody's raised a red flag. Oh, hey, you have to take this child and get a diagnosis, because there might be something more subtle going on that parents intuitively know. And then they begin to feel isolated because they might feel it's us against the world trying to do the best by my child. And people don't understand what's happening here, except that he or she might be struggling. So it really, there's a broad range. So while there are things we do know, there are some commonalities that all parents face. And then we also know that working with families, every family is very individual and every person is very individual. So helping to support that family is a very individual endeavor, although we do know there are some universals about that situation.
Wendy, you mentioned the feeling of, you know, putting on the happy face out in the world as a parent or maybe the primary caretaker of a child with a disability, and then coming home and feeling very isolated. You know, I really see your coaching, your being able to reach out to parents and work one-on-one, not where you're just working with the child like as an occupational therapist, mm-hmm. but really as an emotional intellectual support from your professional and personal experience so that they don't feel so alone and isolated. So they have somebody, mm-hmm. because the problem, the way I see it, just in my own personal experience with a child with a disability as an older child, I do resonate with, you always think, you know, there's something, but you can't put your finger on it. But what my initial experience after diagnosis was that nobody really understood it. You know, people that I thought mm-hmm. would appreciate the trial and support really didn't. And what I finally figured out was because they didn't have a point of reference. People generally empathize and offer support when they have some experience with it or some understanding of it. Unfortunately, a lot of times your normal support system, family and friends, has no point of reference, and then they don't know how to lend support. Do you find that's a contributor?
Absolutely. Yes. And that's where I came to coaching. And in my profession as a therapist, and with so many helping professions in this situation, there's a lot of, and I hesitate to say this, but talking about, well, the family needs support, or the mom needs to find support. We recommend supporting the family. But that would be as far as it goes. Or they might make some blanket recommendations, see a counselor, take him to a group activity, but it seldom went beyond that. And I found that people really needed more because of exactly what you're saying. People quickly became very isolated in finding people who were having common experiences. But however, that being said, some of the best support families and parents do find is with other parents. Sometimes that's easier said than done. With some situations, there are large organizations such as Autism Speaks for parents of children with Down syndrome. They can go to these organizations and find support groups, but there still aren't individual professionals. Very often it's difficult to find someone to coach that person as an individual,
right,
and to support them directly in that way. And then so often, as so many people who might be listening know, that there are so many different scenarios. Again, I mentioned ADHD, where there are not established organizations or where to turn when you're about to pull your hair out because you don't know what to do next.
And you really need, when you're in that position, you really need somebody to support you who understands it professionally or may have resources because they've experienced dealing with a child with a disability personally, and then you have that kinship. And so I think what makes you so fabulous is your background, your ability to coach, and also that you actually do teach and train professionals. Maybe you could point to what you do there, and that you're going to be also branching out to do some parent training. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I started about 12 years ago teaching other therapists things across the board about working with children for early intervention. And it's often when children are first being diagnosed, so it can be a very sensitive time with families. And over the years, I seem to have, because of what was happening in my own practice, seeing children and the questions and concerns professionals would bring, it became more and more focused on how do we support the families, or how do we're supposed to work with families, but we don't know how to do that. So that became my specialty. And so I train other therapists in the state of Illinois, physical therapists, speech therapists, occupational developmental therapists, sometimes psychologists, social workers. And we sit in multidisciplinary groups, and we do have active workshops where people are able to exchange experiences, ideas, challenges for how difficult it is to be in a situation where you are technically supposed to be giving therapy to a child, and in the meantime, it's impossible to ignore that the parent and the child are a unit. So mm-hmm. you need to know much more about working with parents, and the parent is the primary caregiver, all-around coach for the child. So that's how my training evolved to that. And I've also done parent support groups, and most of what I've learned in parent support groups is listening to parents, because so seldom do they have a place to go to talk about their inner feelings, their fears, their thoughts they would be afraid to share mm-hmm. with anybody else except someone who knows their journey. So that piece is training both parents, professionals, workshops. With professionals, it's mostly how to work with parents. And with parents, it's mostly how to work with professionals. And also I do training on the developmental needs of their children. So it's a mix of coaching and information.
And I think the piece that you offer as a certified coach is that beyond your teaching and training and support groups is that one-on-one experience where somebody can really empty out to you where they're at, what their fears are, what they're going through, and you can help them navigate to a happier place. I think that one-on-one can be unbelievably beneficial to somebody.
Well, yes, I came to coaching for that exact reason. I felt as a healthcare professional, when you're licensed in that profession, I felt very limited by the parameters that I had to work within my previous profession. And I sought a lot of avenues and came upon coaching as the best way. I saw it as the most immediate form of being able to actually help people. It seems the most direct, action-oriented, results-oriented, and I think with what my passion was, which is really mostly helping moms, parents, mostly moms, I wanted to see results, and I came upon coaching that way. It seems the most result-oriented process for doing that, which is how I met you, Cindy.
Right, right.
So I could learn from you.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been wonderful to work with. I think there's something to be said about that one-on-one interaction where you give of yourself to the client you're coaching. For you, it'd be the parent that you're coaching, and allow them to just have that hour to empty out, to talk about whatever is going on with them, to ask questions. I mean, you bring such a unique benefit to them because you have not only the professional experience, personal experience, but you also know the coaching modality and the skill set of coaching that can really get underneath what maybe people who are experiencing these difficulties don't even know. You know, like the questioning that happens, the open-ended questioning and coaching can get underneath situations and probe a little deeper that people can have aha moments and get through things a little bit easier and actually quite quickly, and maybe more so than they could by a traditional therapy or going even to groups and a meeting, you know, just talking to other professionals or parents who have children with similar disabilities.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk given to empowerment. And again, without many tools in many of the traditional therapies, I'm talking about therapies working with children. Now I'm not so much talking about a counselor or a psychologist, but we talk a lot about empowering the client, but we don't really have the tools for doing it. We also talk a lot about the parent being the expert on their child. And yet I've seen professionals sort of run over this with just saying it, but then going on the next minute to create an environment where I'm the professional, I tell you what to do, you're the parent. And yet right. that parent is so full of knowledge about their own child and the realities of what will work for them, for their child, and how they can survive it. But what they really need is that guidance and support that coaching can give them, as opposed to another person telling them
what to do,
what they need to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Because who's closer to the situation, experience it day to day, than the parent? you know, so the parent probably has the most intuitive feedback than anybody, but still needs the support. You know, parenting is difficult, even if you're not, depending on what cycle of parenting you're in, even if you're not dealing with a special needs child.
Right. Parenting any child in this culture, the culture without the extended family and the support of the grandmas and the aunts to come and give advice. But even we know that with a child with special needs, that can also be a dangerous territory. But that's another subject. But the parents absolutely benefit the most from having the guidance and support that a coaching model gives them, because it gives them a place, it gives them a platform
to
say what they think, to know. Yes, absolutely. It gives them their own voice. It helps them find their own voice. And ultimately, that's what they need to do to be empowered, to create the life they're heading toward and be the best advocate for their child that they can be.
I love that you said that. You know, I know when I work with clients, Wendy, sometimes people are so surprised when they finally hear their own answers or their own motivations or their own drives, and they speak them out loud and through coaching realize, I know, I do know where to go and what to do. And so maybe, you know, as this applies to a parent with a disability, it could probably be so encouraging when you get that validation from a coach that you are the best person to know what's best for your child. We're giving professional guidance, but you're there day in, day out. You're the best voice there is. You're the best support the child has, you know? And I think sometimes people really need to hear that they're, it's kind of like telling somebody, no, you're on the right track. You don't need to turn right or left. You're going in the, you know, you just need that, you know, that validation from somebody that you respect. It's really, really good for people to get that kind of validation.
Yeah, they need, that's the kind of validation they need to get the empowerment that it's going to take to see it through and create a new life, a successful life for their family, and to create harmony in the home and understanding between relationships in the home. And we also know from brain science that unless someone themselves thinks through their solutions, their thought processes. Well, of course, we can't think it for them, but this is the most powerful way to empower people is a coaching model, because people, when they're using their own minds to work things out, to come to conclusions, to create solutions, they're actually physically laying down neural pathways that will remain, and it is the most self-motivating way of making changes for the better. There's no reward system more rewarding than creating, acknowledging, coming to conclusions with guidance, but on your own, and then seeing them through. It's the most motivating way people can work for themselves.
Love that. You'd have to agree with that, wouldn't you, Bruce?
Absolutely.
How motivating it is when you have your own answers and somebody's just validating it. It's just, it can be exhilarating. Like, oh my God, I know what I'm doing. You know, after all, when you have everybody telling you, you don't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was wondering is.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the questions I had is, With this type of clientele, you know, in the coaching relationship, sometimes when a lot of the executives and people I work with, we develop goals and have kind of steps toward goals. Do you think in your work, it's more kind of in the moment, you know, what are we dealing with this week? What are we dealing with in the now versus a lot of the other goal stuff?
I'm so glad you asked that, because I think there's parallel things going on. It might be that. Sometimes it is that. It is an immediate challenge that needs to be acknowledged. How am I going to handle this? How am I going to deal with this? But the bigger picture is the self-care of the caregiver. And that's an old saying so many people have heard, taking care of the caregiver. But a caregiver in any situation, whether you're caring for elderly, whether you're caring for children. So in many ways, it's sometimes the immediate, but there's always in the background the self-care, because the caregiver has to be taking care of themselves or they won't be there for their child. And that's one of the biggest ahas I've had with so many mothers, because there's so much that inherently goes with motherhood about self-sacrifice and guilt and all the things that go with that. And often the last person in line for any type of self-care is the mother or the father or whoever the primary caregiver is. But once they have that deep internal realization that, hey, I need to take care of myself. I need my time, my adult time. I need adult stimulation. I need rest. I need a good diet, exercise, because I need to be my best to rise to meet the challenge. And that, it does two things. It empowers people to with the realization itself, but it's also kind of a delightful realization, because when I've worked with people who, when they really realize that, they almost feel like it's a gift they've been given. It's like, you mean I can see a movie once in a while? You mean I can call my friend and stay on the phone for a half an hour if I've got a half an hour? And when they're actually encouraged to do that, to take time out for themselves, and married couples, one of the first things I do when I'm working with families of a child of very involved autism, one of the first things is sit down with the family and we do a calendar for you time. And when does, if there are two parents in the home, they work out a calendar for each parent to have alone time to pursue their own interests, whether that's playing the guitar, going to the health club, whatever it is.
That's wonderful.
They find that going to a movie, they promise, you sort of have a contract, if you will, of, you know, I will be home on Thursday night because that's the night you get to go do this. And then we also find, and when are you two going to be together for adult time? We, you know, non-child time, non-caretaking time, because then when they come back to their role as a caregiver with all the challenges that it brings, they're much stronger and it helps keep their support system intact, if there is one. And it all, or, and it can also help create a support system.
Yeah, I can imagine a lot of listeners sighing with relief, you know, that almost like somebody's telling them it's okay, that they have a little, carve a little part of life for themselves.
Yes, yes. They need, it's as if they need permission.
Exactly.
And sometimes I want to say, it's not me giving you permission. You need this. And they, it's a joy to be able to, and I've seen wonderful things happen from that. Wonderful. If I could just share one quick one, working with a young mom and dad who had a very challenging 5-year-old and also a 3-year-old and had no time for themselves. And within a few months, dad, who was teaching guitar on the side to make ends meet and was really doing it for the money and needed the money, had gone out and found himself a one-night gig at an Irish bar playing and singing, playing his guitar and singing. And I'll never forget him because he was so happy. And he thought that was a part of his life he was never going to have again because of his role as a father. But getting it back, it helped them start creating their life again and also meet the needs of their children.
Well, I think because most parents feel like they have to push their needs aside to care for a child, that it has to be first and paramount. And so that becomes tiring, you know, it becomes all encompassing.
Yeah. Right. Right. And many people will, I mean, their child is you know, the first priority, and they will talk about how devoted they are, and it's absolutely true, but it's that having them come to the realization themselves that they need to take care of themselves, and that's where, again, coaching them to realize that and to actually follow through with it is different than someone telling them, now take time for yourself, or other, you know, handing them a handout about self-care is important.
The old handout. Yeah. Well. The old handout is so.
Yeah.
So
the
old
handout.
The handout. Well, and also the coaching model itself, you know, questioning around these types of things until, you know, your client, I'm assuming all of a sudden it dawns on them that they're not taking care of themselves. They're not allowing that in their own life, and that's a big breakthrough for them. And the coaching model helps a person get to and draw their own conclusions instead of you just writing it down and handing it to them, you know?
Yeah. There was a research study done for therapists about handouts, and the title of the research article was Home Program. What home program? They couldn't even remember being handed the home program, and it usually wound up on a pile of papers in the laundry room. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know in my practice, I try to use as few handouts as possible because it gets overwhelming for people to have to sort through all that, you know, so I try to utilize just what's most necessary or impactful. So, so talk a little bit about some of the, I know you're in the process of developing some new parent training. When do you expect to launch that program?
Probably within a month. And like I said in the beginning, that I see with the parents that I work with, it is a combination of coaching, and sometimes it's informational, which is separate from the coaching, but it does help them understand what they are trying to understand. So I've sort of created a list of topics on grieving when your child is developing atypically. Another big area that often comes up when children are young is sensory processing. Another big challenge is often when you do not get a diagnosis, when there isn't a clear understanding of what's going on. I often, and I've seen that over the years in mental health, where some early signs of mental health issues are either misdiagnosed or labeled as something else, because that's another big area in younger children that's very misunderstood. I've seen things go wrongly diagnosed. So that's a very hard thing on parents, is not having a clear diagnosis. I have another workshop on doing inner work using strategies such as cognitive behavioral therapy and acceptance and commitment therapy, so that parents can have the tools they need to regulate stress and have strategies for themselves to both manage stress and thrive. And also I'm looking into working with somebody on developing a workshop on spirituality, because so often in my business, God comes into the discussion. And it's interesting, when you talk to parents of kids with special needs, one of the first things most parents will come up with is they'll say, please don't ever say to me, God only gives people who can handle this, these children. So there's definitely a lot of sort of the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross bargaining, you know, what is it I did wrong to, you know, for my child to have these challenges? So it often crosses over into a more spiritual realm. Another workshop I'm working on for parents is parent assertiveness with professionals. And part of that would be understanding terminology, language, just simple learning, but also how not to be afraid of the professionals, so to speak. And I'm saying that with quotes around it, so that you can speak your mind and answer their questions and express your concerns. Also how to express
That's great.
What I call, similar to that is what you know to be true. That's when I was talking before about parents having the most accurate knowledge of their child. They're the ones that see what goes on and what's happening in the home. It's not just the child. It could be a spouse. It could be a partner. Could be they know what's happening, what they know to be true. Also dealing with what they call outsiders, minimizing the negative experience, how to handle simple things when you're out in public and your child's having a meltdown and people give you dirty looks, when Aunt Marjorie starts giving you advice or Joe tells you that the child just needs more discipline, handling family members. And also your relationships with others, how to nurture your relationships that already exist and not let them fall apart in the face of the challenges, how to handle your partner relationships, relationships with friends, neighbors, relatives. So
that's fabulous, because I think that's a big problem. Where, you know, speaking up against the professional can be very intimidating to a parent. When they know they're right, you know, like they don't know how to just speak their truth and go up against a professional. Yeah.
Yeah. Most, even just calling a school or calling a professional and trying to be brave about saying, this is what's going on with my child and I need help. Right. Or as any parent who's ever had a child with an IEP knows, walking into that room with 8-9 professionals around the table and everybody introduces themselves with their professional
credential, right?
Letters after yes. And then it comes to the mom and it's heartbreaking. Often their voice is quiet and they'll say their name and say, I'm the parent. Like, I'm just the parent. Mm-hmm. And especially it's a process that with many people will go away, but we do know there's a way for that to go away. We have strategies to empower parents. I just haven't seen them used. I haven't seen them formally adopted by any profession yet to say, when you are a family and you are given this challenge, this is the journey that you may be on, and everyone is individual. And here are some things that may help support you in this journey.
Well, I think that you are going to do so much good for parents and families and children, Wendy. I could just listen to you for hours. I don't know. I know we're coming a little bit close to the end of the show. Bruce, is there anything that's whirling in that little brain of yours? I know.
Yeah, little brain of mine.
I don't mean it that way. I know you got a big one, right?
I hear you. No, I just, this is, you know, the possibilities here are limitless, that, you know, just 360 degrees of parental support, all the way from taking personal wellness time for the parents to dealing with the issues at hand, as well as interacting with professionals. I think that that's a huge piece that also, doesn't get addressed as well. So, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about what I do, and it just pales in comparison with the, you see what I mean, with the combinations and permutations of different kind of service lines within your service line that you're offering the parents. So I'm just so excited you came on the show today and just scratched the surface of what you do. And I think it should empower our listeners and people who have the podcast later on who might want to get into what you're doing because they themselves were a survivor of a special situation with their children and whatnot. So
Yeah, and, awesome. And Wendy, Bruce and I would love for you to tell our listening audience how best to reach you if they have a question, if they want to reach out to you for professional support, use you as a coach, attend one of your workshops. How is the best way for our listeners to reach you?
Right now, the best way to reach me is email directly. I'll answer you directly, and it is my name at Wendy Kohler. WendyKohlar, and then the number 4, so Wendy Kohler 4 at gmail.com.
Okay, great. Do you have a phone number you want to share, or what, is it better to just email you?
Sure, that's fine. I know a phone number is great. It's 630-730-1902.
Terrific. We so appreciate you being on the show today. Just fabulous. I just want to commend you for all your past work and all the stuff you're going to be doing to support
Absolutely.
These parents and their children, the family.
Oh, thank
the family.
You.
Thank you so much, Wendy.
Thank you so much for letting me on to talk about this, because I have a passion for it. It's so important to me. I appreciate this so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, gosh, Cindy, what a great diamond there to bring onto the show. Yeah, just so much to offer folks.
I know. I just think about all those people out there that, you know, her combination of experience and you know, knowing her as a client myself, having her as a client, she literally just scratched the surface, like you said, Bruce. I am amazed at her abilities, her experience. She literally scratched the surface of her understanding of the dilemmas that parents face day to day and the challenges. And I love that she's going to be out there supporting them and come at it with such a strong knowledge and expertise to support them with, as well as personal. The compassion, you can hear the compassion when she speaks.
Oh, yeah. 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 Just really knows what she's doing and how to do it. And I know there's a lot of other people out there in a similar position, unique to their own strengths, that can do this as well. So
there's a
awesome.
Big need out
Thanks
there.
For sharing.
I mean, who doesn't need a coach? I mean, this is just
I know,
one.
Right?
This is, well, yeah, I mean, this is just one area that, you know, there could be some people out there listening, didn't even know that there's somebody like that was available to them. And, you know, it is very isolating to deal with, you know, not everybody understands. And there's so many, like she was saying, being a caretaker, you know, she deals with neurological disabilities, but there's, you know, there's mental disabilities. There's so many different types of disabilities, physical disabilities. And each caretaker or parent, you know, they may feel like they're really alone. There's nobody in their circle that really gets where they're at. And so having somebody like her to speak to, I think it could be just such a relief to somebody.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It makes all the difference in the world. Absolutely. So, I'll kind of do my part of the closeout. Well, thanks for listening again, folks. And again, if you want to reach me, I'm available at www.conciergecoach.net. Our show here at Concierge Coaches Show is at facebook.com/conciergecoachesshow. And also I'm on Twitter at Cameron Coaches. And the number is 214-431-2032. Cindy, what about your contact?
I can be reached by phone at 714-943-6206. At my website, wisdomfoods.com, and love to hear any questions or anything we can do to direct you in the right path. We're available.
All right. So, again, folks, thanks for listening to the show. Don't forget our podcast at Channel 2 at latalkradio.com/content/concierge-coaches-show. but it indexes in Google. So find us there, get the show, get the podcast, enjoy it, and we'll see you next week here on LA Talk Radio on the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand.
Bye,
see
everyone.
Next week.
Bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.